So perhaps this passage is familiar with you, but as I read it, the word all kind of jumped off the page. And that was regardless of what version I was reading. Over and over in this passage, all reveals something of Paul's evangelistic strategy. It's a fancy word. Paul's desire to reach others for Jesus, right? Paul is concerned for everyone, for reaching all people. And because of that, he is willing to adapt, to be flexible. But above all, this passage affirms that he is all in. Every part of who he is responding to what he thinks Christ is calling him to do. I mean, just before this, in chapter 8, he said he would even become a vegetarian if it would help people in their walk with Jesus. It's pretty powerful stuff. So he continues that thread by saying the good news is something that for him, he doesn't do for money, but rather he pursues gospel sharing because he's a servant of the Lord, and the Lord has compelled him to exercise his freedom in this particular way. And he goes on from there and shares more. He gives us a window into his approach as it pertains to gospel sharing. Why do you think he does this? Do you think people are calling into question his authority? Do you think people are wondering why he does what he does? I'm curious. Why does he feel this is so important? Well, I think it's because he wants to normalize responding to a call from Christ to share the good news. He wants the Corinthian Christians, and I think us, many, many years later, to understand it is everyone's responsibility to share the good news with someone else. It's a normative part of the Christian journey. It's not just for evangelists and missionaries and preachers. It's for everyone. And so I think that's why it's so important. And he's talking to a group of people that really aren't that different than we are. They're having trouble just getting along within their church. Right? They're having all sorts of issues in terms of how to play nice together, how to share, right? How to not exclude one group of people. So there's lots of things for them to work on just within themselves. But he, I believe, wants to help them understand that they cannot truly be who God desires them to be unless they extend themselves, stretch themselves outside of their comfort zone and into arm's length of others that are outside of the church. In other words, he's trying to help them understand, just as he has in other places in this letter, that Christian freedom doesn't allow us just to simply live life willy-nilly and be blown by the wind, but it calls us actually into servanthood. And then he says that our flexibility in that freedom God gives us is the means by which the Spirit can enable us to lead people to Jesus Christ. Let me put that a different way. If we stretch, then the gospel will stick. Our stretchiness helps with the gospel's stickiness. I would love to say that we have this beautiful sanctuary, beautiful building, historic, lovely, in the heart of Luray. But we cannot just put our doors open and say, church is at such and such a time, and huddle together inside here and expect people who need Jesus to automatically come and find us, to find this place. It's never been that way. Even with the fanciest churches, even if we had one of those cool signs that changes the message in different colors. See, Paul, back in the first days of the church, recognizes that that is not the way that you reach people. You reach people by meeting them where they are. So this all leads me to this really dangerous kind of question where we ask, are we willing to love Jesus outwardly in this kind of way? Is our love for Jesus that rich, that meaningful, that we are willing to get out of our comfort zone and go do something new and meet people where they are. I found it really interesting this week to walk with this passage because one of the folks that I read emphasized the way that when we extend ourselves, it is not just about the other person. We believe, hopefully, that if Jesus is the Savior, if Jesus can bring salvation and new life and wholeness to us and to other people, ultimately, that's a really, really good thing. So that ought to be this imperative for us to share the gospel. But also, there is this sense that the whole of creation is not put back together the way God desires. With each and every person, each and every community we reach, God is knitting back together the creation the way that He desired it to be. So then people's lives are made meaningful and purposeful, and they can direct their lives towards God in beautiful and meaningful ways. So then a greater part of our world becomes connected with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to share with you one way that I found was really interesting in terms of how we go about sharing the gospel. Now, you can find these all sorts of places, like the New Testament or the internet or books. But this one happened to be really, really easy for me to understand. And that's always a gift. Now, it happens to come from a doctor, James Zegletti, who is a Presbyterian from Canada. But we're on the same team, so it's all good. But this is what he says, and really what Paul and Peter and Barnabas and John Mark and all these cats in the New Testament said too. Number one, you have to meet people where they are. So Paul says, I'm going to be all things to all people, so in some way I might save some. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a chameleon and that he throws everything out the window and he no longer follows Jesus. No, he still has that firm foundation. It just means he finds a starting place, both physically where people are, but also where they are spiritually, where they are, you know, in terms of their life. So when we encounter people, let's not over-intellectualize our faith or use too spiritual language. I mean, if we say someone, well, I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Or, you know, I ate Jesus' body and blood this morning in church. That was awesome. You're going to scare some people. You got to meet them where they are. Don't use that insider language with people who don't yet have a way of understanding it. But you start where they are because they have concerns and needs and they want to find joy and have fun, but it might be uncomfortable, right? You might be called this evening to have a chicken wing with an Eagles fan if you're a Patriots supporter, right? And that's all right because my guess is you can find some common ground to start from. My goodness, I just love this sauce. We're past the ranch. You can find some means of finding common ground with another individual. And from there, you can invite them to share about their lives and enter into a dialogue. A dialogue where both people are valued. You know, in the Corinthian church, Paul's dealing with this sense where some people think they're higher. They're closer to Jesus than the other people. You know, he keeps talking about the weaker ones. There's this sense of a hierarchy. We can't do that. And it's really easy for us to do, to have this us-them kind of dynamic. We have to understand, just as I was trying to tell the kids, we're all sinners that need God's grace. No matter how much our closet's already been cleaned up, there's still more in there that God's got to work with. So find a way to build on that common ground. You know, share food together. Go and find a common interest. Be together in some way. And then finally, share what Jesus has meant in your life. Don't start with the plan of salvation. I know it's good. Romans is good. Paul wrote it for a reason. Start with your life. Jesus has made a difference in my life because I needed to know that I was loved. You have to start by being vulnerable and telling particulars. And if you can't do that, give it some thought and prayer. Find out what your story is and use your language. Talk about it with your voice and your gut and your heart. And that will move people when they see that your faith has been internalized in such a deep way. Now, I say that to you as someone who does not have that perfected, who doesn't necessarily do a good job. I quote people left and right. I'm always leaning on the New Testament. And I'm not saying that's bad, but those steps of meeting people where they are, inviting them into dialogue and relationship, and sharing the way Jesus has impacted you, that is the way that Paul continued to reach out to others. You know, Paul wasn't a paid preacher. He made tents. Like, he would have worked at REI in our day, or the Outfitters over here, right? And so he met with all kinds of people from all walks of life, merchants and, folks who were kind of nomadic, which in the Roman Empire, many people were going from this place to that place and back and forth. So he crossed sections with all kinds of different people from all different walks of life. It was a means where he could begin some of this work. So we've got to find a place where we can do that. And I just want to encourage you. Because if we grow in these kinds of ways, if we love Jesus enough to care about another person and want to share the impact he has made upon our lives, the Holy Spirit can bless that work. And that's why we gather here today. It's about making us more whole, but also it's an outward thing. So remember that. When you come forward this morning, when you receive that bread and that delicious juice, remember, it's about your spiritual wholeness, but also equipping you to be a servant for God. Wherever you go, God has placed you in meaningful places and given you opportunities, and will continue to do so. Amen.